بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، ما بعد تسليس الدروس الشريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا ربي، صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، respected علماء، our brothers, our mothers, sisters, and all who are listening on the audio streaming and the receivers. This is a beautiful hamd, hamd-e bari. There is the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are such that if all the trees of the world had to be made into pens, and all the waters of the oceans had to be converted into ink, and the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to be written with those pens and that ink, then we could imagine that these pens would have got finished and the ink would have depleted, but the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be completed. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about this in the Holy Quran itself, وَلَوْ أَنَّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامُ وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. Not even one ocean, but it is then added to by another seven oceans. And these oceans, seven oceans put together, they will not complete the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why in the beginning it is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And in the end also, وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا وَآخِرُ دَعْوَاهُمْ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. In the beginning also it is the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last words, that is the words of the people of Jannah too, will be Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Lord of the universe. So the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very, very essential and necessary. The best praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the composition of praise, is Surah Al-Fatiha, in which the very beginning verse starts off with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And over the centuries of Islam, the great personalities of Islam have come and they have expressed the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many eloquent and beautiful words. And in that list of hamd-e bari ta'ala, the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is this most beautiful composition or poetry of Shaykh al-Islam, Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Taqi Usmani, Hafizahullahu ta'ala wa ra'ahu wa maddahu zilluhu al-ali. This great alim and personality of our time, Shaykh al-Islam, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani, that multifaceted personality of the Ummah, that very rarely do we find so many aspects of the perfection and service to Islam that we find in this one personality of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatuhu. There's so much that can be said about this great personality. Allah preserve him and protect him. Two, three Jummas ago, we almost lost such a great personality by, you know, the very cowardly attack that was made upon him and his family by great mischief makers and trouble causers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He protects someone, then all the forces can come together. They will not even be able to harm a hair on the body of that person. And that was the amazing thing about Mufti Taqi Sahab, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. Not even a hair of his was damaged in this attack, despite the fact that the guards, security personnel were made shaheed, and the others were very seriously injured. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spared and preserved the great alim and personality of the Ummah. It is our dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always preserve him and keep him well with afiyah, siha, and long life. Indeed, those that have had the opportunity and the good fortune of meeting him, or even sitting for a few minutes in his company, will testify to the fact that they have sat in the company of an ocean of knowledge. And not just knowledge, but piety, taqwa, ikhlas, akhlaq, all of these beautiful attributes and qualities, we find these in Mufti Taqi Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, par excellence. So, amongst the perfections that Allah SWT has blessed him with, is his ability of poetry. Mufti Sahib composes some amazing, beautiful poetry, and really, this is the voice of the heart. The poetry is really the voice of the heart of the poet, and you can see from here alone what an attachment Hazrat has got with Allah Rabbul Izzat, with Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with the Haramain Sharifain, with Makkah and Medina. His beautiful poetry is about Makkah, Medina, about Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, about Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Hamd Bari, the Naat Sharif, tells us about what is his batini kayfiyat, what is his inner condition. So, very briefly, we will touch upon some of the aspects of this poetry of this great personality. And he says, Jahan mein juz tere jalwo ke charasu kya hai, ye bazm mein shams o qamar kya hai, rang o bu kya hai. That in this universe, all four directions, whether we look north, south, east, west, whichever direction we see, and in this entire assembly of the sun and moon, and all the colors and all the fragrances, what do we see besides your existence? What do we see besides your being? There is nothing else that we see besides that. So, in reality, this is what is an arif billah, one who has recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the entire makhluk and creation. He sees the wonderful hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What an amazing, amazing creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the skies, in the planets, in the stars, in the sun and the moon, in the galaxy, in the Milky Way, in the earth itself, in the flowers, in the plants, in the fruits, in the birds, in the fish, in the animals, in the plants, in the trees, in the mountains, in all of this creation, in the animal world, we see Allahu Akbar. What an amazing qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You take just one bird alone. Recently we went to visit one of our friends, and he is a person who has got a passion for birds. And he raises all kinds of birds in his backyard. And Allahu Akbar, the mind just boggles. And it's a small variety of birds that he has. If you go to the bird park, for example, you just see, Allahu Akbar, the shapes of the birds, the types of birds, the colors of the birds. Who put that color? Which artist and which painter could come and put that kind of color? Human beings have discovered 16 million colors in their color schemes, that now the world around people are using variety of colors, etc. But in the creation of Allah, who knows what, how many millions, if human beings can invent 16 million colors, what is the range of the colors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We cannot even imagine. Look at these beautiful birds, and that's just the color. The color of the feathers, the color of the wings, the colors of the nape of these birds. It's just absolutely mind-boggling. And then one bird alone has such a variety of colors. One is in a single bird, you see a beautiful one color of it, but very, very striking, beautiful color. Then the varieties of colors. And these colors are not just there for adornment. They also have a practical value. How these birds are able to attract other birds, how these birds are able to attract their prey through these colors. If one has to really just go into the science of, or the world of birds alone, a lifetime and more can come out, and we will not even scratch the surface as to this amazing and wondrous makhluk and creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the beautiful sounds that these birds make, how they sing. And in reality, they are actually making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِمِّنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. This is their form of making tasbih, their form of making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't understand their language, we don't understand their words. They have got their own language, and in their language they are also engaged in the tasbih and the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this, all these colors, the plants, the flowers, Allahu Akbar, what variety. One person sent to me a little book, in fact it is a catalogue of roses, and the types and varieties of roses that are found. It is absolutely mind-boggling. The whole book from cover to cover is only about the types of roses and the variety of colors of roses. Just one flower, the rose alone. It's not just the pink rose that we see. It actually ranges from the white to the darkest colors. And these are all different varieties of just roses alone. And I was amazed to see recently that some people have actually gone into the science of roses to the extent that they will even tell you which rose is appropriate to give at which occasion. There's a rose to give on a happy occasion, and there's a rose to give on a sad occasion, and there's a rose to give, you know, at a certain time and certain time and to certain people. And Allahu Akbar, imagine. And who made these roses? Who created these roses? Insan can only maybe plant the roses, but he can't put the color in the roses. He cannot do anything. He has no control over anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got the control over all of these things. And if insan does, you know, use his knowledge of botany, biology, and he's able to, you know, study and maybe use that knowledge to enhance, then that too is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we see the science of hybridizing and grafting, where new types of plants have been grown, and new types of varieties of fruits and vegetables, etc., are coming to existence because of the process of grafting. So this art of grafting and the science of grafting, the knowledge of that also came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not the kamal of insan. So we see that whether it is directly in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the original form, or whether it is in the hybridized, grafted form, all of this is a sign of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're only talking about small things, little things. And we talk about the big, mighty, gigantic makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mind boggles. The mind absolutely boggles. So this is what Hazrat Mufti Sahib is saying in just a few lines here. Rang o bo. It's about the colors. And it's about the fragrances. Look at the variety of fragrances. Allahu Akbar. What and what types of fragrances there are. Person, Allah has given the ability to smell to human beings, and they can smell the variety of fragrances. Each flower has got its own fragrance. That is the unique speciality of that particular flower. There's no mixing of the fragrances. This is all the makhluk and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The different types of itars, the variety of, if you take just one variety of itar, for example, you take oud, which is the very, very special favorite itar of some people. They love their oud. Then you got in that the varieties. How many varieties of just one type? You take amber, the varieties of that itself. And like that, all the different types of itar alone. And perfumes, what types of varieties there are. This is all the creation, the marvelous creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Hazrat says further on, تیری تلاش میں نکلے تو یہ ہوا معلوم جنون عشق کی منزل ہے, جستجو کیا ہے. That when a person sets out, O Allah, in your search to look for you, to find you, then the reality of the matter is that the destination is junoon-e-ishq, to become mad in your love. That is the actual destination of that search. The end of that search is to become mad in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you looking for more than that? What are you searching for after that? That is the end of your destination. That is your actual destination. That is to reach the junoon, the madness of the ishq and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To become mad in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the expression is used very much in English, madly in love. So and so is madly in love. When you say a person is really, you know, so overwhelmed by love, you say he's madly in love. That a kind of madness overtakes that person, that he doesn't even know what he's doing or how he's behaving. He even loses track of his own actions and his behavior in that madness of his ache. He does even silly things, crazy things, stupid things, but for him it doesn't matter, because he has become mad in love. That madness of love is what drives a person to do things that normally he would not, never do. So this is ishq junoon, and this is really the search of the mu'min, to become mad in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a mu'min becomes mad in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what it means? It means that he puts his intellect one side. He puts all the love of every other thing one side. And now his very purpose of existence is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah desires of him, he's over eager to do whatever Allah wants, and he passionately abhors the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, and he wants to do everything to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever he knows that Allah loves a certain act, a certain amal, he's so eager and desirous to do that amal that nothing will stand in his way in the completion of that amal because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what is called mustahab. Mustahab actions, for example, mustahab is an Arabic word. The root letters of this word are hub. Hub. It's a fa'al muda'af. You have to talk a little bit of grammar now. The Arabic grammar, where you find that a certain verb, the root letters are repeated. Root letters are repeated. So, hub is one of those root letters that the ba is repeated in this word, and which it means love. And mustahab means to seek that which is loved. Seeking the love things, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So that is what is the meaning of mustahab. So when you're seeking an action that is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are seeking a mustahab amal. And those are the actions that may not be farz. They are not wajib. They are not sunnat-e muakkada. They are not nawafil. Maybe even lesser than the degree of nawafil, or in that category, is what is called mustahab, a mustahab amal. But for those who are ashik, those who are the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for them, this categorization of farz, wajib, sunnah, mustahab, nafil, it doesn't exist in the sense of action. Yes, from a fiqhi terminology point of view, it is there. But in terms of practical application, it is equivalent for them. They love a mustahab amal as much as they love a farz amal, and they try to practice every mustahab act. This is a sign of ishq junoon. When a person has got that degree of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he looks forward to practicing every mustahab action. And this is what we see in the lives of the Ahlullah, the Awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see this love for even the mustahab practices. They won't let go of a mustahab amal. They will never let go even of something that is a small act in our eyes because of our deficiency of love for them, that is a great amal, it is a great thing. Now we see the example of Hazrat Ilyas rahmatullah alayh. On one occasion, he was disabled, he was bedridden, and khadims were making his khidmat. And when they were doing wuzu for him, the one khadim started washing Hazrat's foot in such a manner that he started washing from the ankle towards the toes. Whereas the proper amal is to wash from the toes towards the ankle. Hazrat became so agitated with this khadim, and would say kufr karwa rahe. You are making me do kufr. Obviously it was not meant in the literal sense, but what he was trying to say is that why are you making me discard a mustahab practice, a practice that is desirable in Islam? You want me to leave such an act out? So immediately the khadim realized his mistake and he started making the washing the feet of Hazrat in the proper sequence as it's supposed to be. So we see that this is the level of ishq and muhabbat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires and wants that level of compliance from those who are his beloved and close servants. The more a person tries to draw closer to Allah ta'ala, the more Allah wants that person to become more and more obedient and compliant and to demonstrate that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi. Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi. Great alim, great faqih, great jurist, great wali of his time. One day he entered the masjid and in a state of unconsciousness, not realizing, he stepped into the masjid with his left foot instead of entering with the right foot. We know that this is a sunnah to enter the masjid with the right foot, to go into any place with the right foot, a good place with the right foot and a bad place with the left foot. This is the established sunnah practice. Leaving the masjid is always with the left foot. Entering is always with the right foot. Entering the home also should always be with the right foot. So we see that Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi, this one time he just slipped up. We are insan, we are human being, we slip up. But he was on that level, he was on that stage, he was on that maqam of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a saying in Arabic that Hasanatul Abrar Sayyiatul Mukarrabin. There's a statement in Arabic. Beautiful statement. You understand the depth of the statement. Hasanatul Abrar Sayyiatul Mukarrabin. The good deeds of the Abrar, that is the ordinary pious people. Not just ordinary people, the ordinary pious people. People who are pious on a certain level of piety, they, for them, what they consider to be good deeds may be considered as, you know, deficiencies and shortcomings for those who are muqarrabin. Those who are the close ones, those who are the awliya-i kamilin, those on high level of ma'rifat and muhabbat and wilayat, for them these actions may even be deemed to be like bad deeds. Though it is a good deed by itself, and for ordinary folk, even the ordinary pious people, salihin, it will be regarded as a good deed for them. But on that level, the highest level of obedience and loyalty and compliance is required. So Sayyiatul Muqarrabin. So Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi, when he entered the masjid with the left foot, then a voice was heard from the unseen, Ya Thawr, O bull, O ox, O ox. You are an ox. You're entering the masjid with the left foot. Where is your sense? Where is your consciousness? Can you enter the house of Allah with the left foot? A voice from the unseen was heard, Ya Thawr, O ox. Allahu Akbar. Imagine. From that day, his title became Sufyan Thawri. Thawr means ox in Arabic. It means the one who is attributed to the ox. Why? Because of the mistake. He realized, he went out, he made profuse istighfar, tawbah, repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is at their level. Obviously, it is not a guna, it's not a sin, there's no punishment for it. But for those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's expected of them that leave alone the farais, the wajibat, the sunan muakkada, and the sunan ghair muakkada, and the other nawafil, even the mustahabbat, they will try their best to comply with those mustahabbat. That is the sign of the true ishq and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that ishq and that muhabbat and that love for Him. Just one more stanza. Hazrat says, na jis mein zikr ho tera, wo mehfil hai bekar, jo teri yaad se khali ho, guftagu kya hai? That gathering in which there is no mention of you, O Allah. You are not mentioned, you are not spoken about, there's no zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that gathering, in that conversation, there's no mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, what is that gathering? Wo bekar, it's a useless, hopeless gathering. Useless gathering. In which Allah's name was not taken even one time. No point in time Allah was mentioned. It's only worldly discussions, whether it is about the scores, whether it is about the goals, or whether it is how many points, or whether it is the exchange rates, or whether it's about the economy, or the political situation, or the vote counting, or whatever it may be. The discussion is about worldly matters. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not feature even once in that gathering. Allah ta'ala didn't feature even once in that conversation. Bekar, useless, worthless discussion. There must be some mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somewhere in all of our conversations, in all of our gatherings. At least if we even say, insha'Allah, masha'Allah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We bring these phrases into our daily conversation. Then at least there's some form of the zikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps through that we will be caught, we will be saved from being caught and taken to account on the day of Qiyamah. Otherwise, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that gathering in which Allah's name was not mentioned at any time will be a source of regret for a person on the day of Qiyamah. So therefore, we should make it a common practice that in our conversations, in our discussions, even with our children, even with little children, to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talk to them about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even to our little children, that everything attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make them conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make them speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make them ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we introduce them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from their young ages, they will grow up with that Allah consciousness that is desired of every mu'min. So we should endeavor to the best of our ability not to let any of our gatherings or our conversations go without some zikr, without some remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end of our gatherings, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that we should read that dua, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa an, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. This dua has been taught by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a dua of kafara of the majlis. This is an expiation of the majlis, of the gathering. Perhaps or perchance we spoke anything that was unbecoming, out of line, sinful, wrong. Then through the barakat of this dua of the kafar of the majlis, Allah Rabbul Izzat will forgive all the mistakes, the shortcomings, and we will not be taken to task or to account. So this is something that we should try to the best of our ability, that after every gathering, whether it is with our children, our families, whether it is with our relatives, whether it is with our friends, whether it is a business meeting, whether it is a mashwara, whether it is any dini get-together, no matter what type of gathering it may be, let us develop the practice of reading Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, Nashhadu an la ilaha illa an, Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. It is mentioned in the riwayat that it will become a means of forgiveness of the sin of a person, and if it was a good gathering in which there were no sins, it will become a seal on that gathering, which will then be a source of reward for a person on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala grant us hidayah, tawfiq and guidance. Also, I just want to remind our brothers that inshallah, we from here, Masjid al-Taqwa on Saturday, we will be going for 24 hours in Jamaat. A lot of our brothers are joining us, inshallah. We'll be leaving around 10, half past 10. There are some vehicles that are leaving also after Zuhr Salah. And we will be going to the Ijtima site in escort for Zuhr Salah for a short while. Thereafter, we will be going to Ladysmith. The brothers there are waiting for our Jamaat to come. It's a big town, many masjids, musallas. They want us to cover all of these areas and give the full da'wah and invitation to the Ijtima that is going to take place in escort the following weekend. So all should get ready, inshallah. We want all our brothers, inshallah, to spend at least this 24 hours in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Mubarak month of Sha'ban and get ourselves spiritually geared up also. This opportunity, going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is an opportunity to cut away from all the, you know, distractions of dunya, the attractions of dunya, the distractions of dunya, to cut away from that. Be in the environment of a masjid, be in the environment of ta'aleem, be in the environment of bayans and lectures, be in the bayan of, be in a gathering of zikrullah, of sunnahs, of adab, of muzakaras, of da'wat. Try to be in that environment for a short, you know, period of time. These are the things that are going to make a difference to our lives. Otherwise, the days are passing, the weeks are passing, the months are passing, the years are passing, decades are passing. We're hearing every day our phones are beeping with the messages of so-and-so passed away, so-and-so passed away, so-and-so passed away. Ya Allah, when are we going to wake up? When are we going to realize these little things that we might do? These are the things that are going to help. These are the things going to count. So we would like all our brothers, inshallah, just put your hands up, inshallah, and say that we will be coming, inshallah. We'll all be going and joining the Jamaat, inshallah, too. Ladysmith, put your hands up, inshallah, ta'ala. Make your niyat, even if you cannot make it for now. Make your intention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your intention, and then He will reward you accordingly, inshallah ta'ala. We will humbly request our respected and honorable guest that is here, who's the Khalifa of our Hazrat, Haji Kamran Sahib, Hafizahullah. Haji Sahib has spent many, many years in the sohbat of our Hazrat Wala, Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatul Alayhi. He is the Khalifa of our Hazrat Wala. He's a very successful businessman, he's an industrialist, but his involvement in his business and tijarat did not become a deterrent from finding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from treading the path of the ishq and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith Sahib spent many years in the sohbat of Hazrat Wala. Daily, virtually, he was in his sohbat, in Hazrat's majlis, with Hazrat, in Hazar, in Safar. And many years of his life, he was in the company of such a great Allah Wala. And Hazrat's special attention and nazar has been towards him. And after that, as soon as Hazrat passed away, without much delay, then he took bayat at the hand of Hazrat's son, or Hazrat Maulana Shah, Hakim Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum. And he's also a Khalifa of Hazrat Muhammad Mazhar Sahib. And we know that Hadi Sahib is with Muhammad Mazhar Sahib. When he comes on his safar to South Africa, to his constant companion throughout Hazrat's entire stay and journey in South Africa, he is always, and even in Karachi, most of his days and most of his evenings, he spends at the Khanqah in the khidmat of this Ahlullah. So inshallah, we'll request Haji Sahib to do the zikrullah with us tonight, and also to conclude our program with dua. Tashreef.